Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Welcome, friends and family and new listeners. Thank you for tuning in to our third show. And the topic for today is regrets and lessons and making our way through life's journey. And then we'll also be featuring a song by Third Soul. Called what is the song? Life Takes Us for a Ride, and we'll be having an interview with Rudy Ramos during the interview. But you know, I'm going to have to be honest with everyone. I'm going to have to let you know now that I am wired on caffeine. So for those who know me, and for those of you who will know me, I do not respond well to caffeine, and I needed an energy kick earlier, and my assistant grabbed me a cup of coffee, and I am just, my mind is racing a 1,000 miles a minute, so I'm forgetting words, and so I am going to pray that whatever I'm saying will make sense to the world, even though in my head it will. I am just so, caffeine just does this thing to me. I don't know what it is. I'm just not good with chemicals in my body. In fact, when we had a donation of green tea, diet green tea that was donated to Royal, and when I used to drink that every morning, my staff used to freak out because finally one day they said to me during staff meeting, you know, Maggie, every time you drink that green tea, our to-do list gets longer and longer, which is because I just get this total manic mindset of 1,000 thoughts and tons of energy coming through me, and I want to just do this and that and this and that, so trickles to my staff. Anyway, okay, that's a whole different thing. So please excuse me if I'm kind of off, but that's okay because, like I said, I always want to be real and authentic with my listeners. But going forward, you know, I really, really want to thank everyone. I am so humbled with the responses and the number of listeners. We've had two shows. We've had, I think we're just about 2,000 listeners with a combination of both shows. There were a lot of afterthoughts that I had last week of how I wish I could have done things differently or said things differently to kind of make it more interesting. And so I'm constantly trying to figure out how to do that. And we have some great ideas, creative ideas in making that happen. you know, I also just want to, again, invite people to request topics. One of the things that we are looking at that was a great suggestion by one of my good friends, Kathy, is that we may air some of our shows, do a live stream. And with that, I had thought of wanting to do some panel interviews to bring a group of people to discuss the topics, and we would be broadcasting live and airing that on video as well. So let us know if you'd be interested in doing that. I have a list of people already that I would love to bring in. If you don't know me, I don't know you, please reach out. Let's connect. I think the more people, the more diverse our a group of people, the better. Okay, so we've got some exciting stuff coming up later. I'm going to be featuring the song and interviewing Rudy Ramos. But before we get to that, there have been a couple of questions that I want to get to so that I can get to the rest of the stuff. So Nico says that he's going to be listening to the show, and he had emailed me and wanted to ask about becoming a therapist. And so Nico is a wonderfully talented and artistic young man. He's gone through quite a bit of stuff in learning life at an early age, and now interested in looking into the therapy field. So Nico, to be a licensed therapist, which is what I am, you need at least a bachelor's degree in the social services or psychology field or behavioral health or sciences field. And then to become a therapist, you have to get a master's degree after that. So you'd have to go to grad school and get your degree from a credentialed school. And then if you want, so you can get a job as a therapist or counselor with a master's degree, but if you want a private practice, you have to become licensed by the state. And if you do that, you have to register with the state called the Board of Behavioral Sciences. You have to, in my case, as an MFT, marriage family therapist, you have to have 3,000 clinical hours as an intern, and then you have to take your board exams. And once you pass your board exams, then you will become licensed by the state and be able to have a private practice. Some people don't care to have a private practice. Some people only want a private practice. I always suggest trying to get licensed because you have more flexibility to do what you want. So that's as an MFT. There's also a master's in social work if you're more interested in the social work case management arena, but you also can do therapy with that. And it's a similar path. And if you become licensed as a master, as a social worker, then that becomes a licensed clinical social worker. And you would, like I said, it's a similar path. It's just a different degree, and you do some things differently. But you can also have a private practice when you're licensed. You know, there's also going the doctoral way, and that would be, you have to have, again, your bachelor's, and then get into a doctoral program. And that can take at least four plus years, plus the internship hours. You know, and there's different types of therapists. I specialize with children and families and, of course, individuals, but my credentials are to work with relationships. So our scope of practice is relational. But I'm also a clinical hypnotherapist and also a sex expert. So you have to have the training and credentials in order to do that. You can get credentialed in those other ways by going to the specific training programs. And you don't need a master's for clinical hypnotherapy. You know, there's also arts therapists, there's expressive arts therapists. I've had a wonderful batch of staff that were going to school and working towards their license or to become an arts therapist or drama therapist or music therapists. But I would just suggest that you Google what kind of therapists there are in the helping profession. There's many different kinds. I'm just giving you an example of what I do. So hopefully that's helpful. The next question, hopefully I can get through this quickly. This comes from someone named Phil, and I know Phil very well. He actually sent me this question before the show started, back in before May 7th, and I promised that I'd get to this. So the question is, I have a friend who likes, loves this person, but his mom doesn't approve of the relationship because the woman is not educated or never went to college. This lady owns a successful business and has a child from a previous relationship. They're very fond of each other, but my friend doesn't want to upset and disrespect his mom's wishes. So he broke up with his girlfriend. 2 weeks passed, and he tells me he can't sleep, feels horrible because his ex did something wrong. Did nothing wrong. Longs to be with her, blah, blah, blah. I gave him my own cynical advice, but what would you tell him? You know, this comes up often, especially when it comes to very close relationships between parents and children or adult children. It tends to happen quite a bit with different cultures as well. And, you know, this always kind of boils down to values and what you hope to have in your life. The short end of it is that we can't please everyone. And what is our objective in our life? I always say, figure out what you want and what you need in this life. And actually, the healthiest people are those who can identify what it is they need and want and then be able to work towards that. The problem is when your values may clash, or the values you were brought up with, or family values, are clash with what you want. And that's where it takes a lot of risky decisions. And actually, decisions are what we're going to be discussing later. You know, it is an issue that many people face, whether, you know, when they have a close relationship with a parent or family members and there's a strong influence from them. Education can be an issue, of course, relationship, decisions in life. And usually it's always coming from a great place. They feel that they want what's best for their kids or who they love. Sometimes, though, it just clashes with what, you know, we ourselves would want for ourselves. And, you know, I think, you know, my dad used to tell me when I was young, he'd say, make sure you find a job that you love or you do what you love, because then it'll never be work. But you have to make sure that you focus on getting your education and credential. And I hated school. I mean, that's just me personally. I hated school. But had to kind of go through the stuff to make it happen. And versus my mother's values were, the education part wasn't as important to her, but making sure that, you know, the livelihood was met, that we have, you know, good jobs, and that, you know, college may be a deterrent from being able to be comfortable at the time versus you know, kind of struggling, be a struggling student and having some financial or having financial issues. So, you know, they basically clashed with their values. I had to choose what was right for me. And that's kind of just a commonplace anyway, you know, who you date. And sometimes we just learn our lessons of whether it was the right thing or not the right thing after the fact. But that's part of our life's journey. That's kind of what we're at. So, you know, when people ask me these kind of questions, even my own friends and family, what I had just read, I would always say, well, you have to figure out what's really important to you. What's the, you know, big picture? What do you see 5 years from now? What is it that you want? And then be true to yourself. That's always my thing. Be true to yourself and be true to others. Be honest. Be ready to make some risky decisions. If you want to be true to yourself, or, you know, make some sacrifices because of whatever values you may have regarding value, family or culture. And, you know, to me, it's not a right or wrong thing. It's just about what your values are and what you'd like to have in your life. Okay, so those are the questions, which kind of ties into the topic again on what we'll be discussing today. And, you know, this topic is something that I probably talk about almost every day with clients and, you know, family, friends, and even examining my own stuff. And that is that life just happens, right? There is the things that we are born into. There are things that we can create and manifest. There are things that happen to us, but what we do with it is within our power or be able to make decisions from there. You know, we can make decisions for ourselves, make decisions for other people. Decisions can be made for us. And regardless of kind of where it comes from, someone had once said, you know, you can't change the cards that you've been dealt in life. And that kind of comes from a perspective of like what we're born to be destined to do, or what we're destined to have in our life. And I've always said, you know, sometimes that, maybe if that perspective is true, and I don't know, but if that is true, you may not be able to change the cards that you've been dealt, but how you play the hand can make a big difference, right? Or whether you decide to come back to the game or keep playing or whatever, I don't know. So it's just like when we go through stuff in life, and whether, you know, we have the regrets, whether we feel guilty or ashamed of the stuff that we did or even that was done to us, we can't change the past, right? Of course, that's a given. And how we move forward from there is what makes the difference. And, you know, I have clients constantly coming in who are very traumatized from situations that have happened and feeling like, you know, this is it. This is the worst thing that can happen. And one of the things that I constantly say is that, you know, it's not the end of the story yet. I mean, I know for myself, I've, you know, since childhood was dealing with stuff that just prayed and hoped would be different or would change. And, you know, having gone through stuff myself, you know, I was very disappointed that the hopes and prayers were not answered in the way I wanted or felt at the time I needed. And, you know, many years later, I look back and I say, well, many of those things just kind of needed to happen for a reason. I couldn't be who I am now and do what I do if I didn't go through that stuff. And of course, you know, many people will say that. And I'm far from perfect. I can still say or do things and look at it and say, you know, there could have been a better way. And I have mastered many skills. I've mastered many skills of which I teach: communication, conflict resolution, anger management, mood management, stress management. Even though I've mastered it, things in life will still happen, whether it's it can be a hormonal thing. You know, females can go through stuff monthly. Sometimes I'll be venting and feeling so overwhelmed, and my best friend will say, "So, are you at that time?" Which is what we always talk about between each other. And there is an absolute connection and truth to that. The hormonal shifts within us can really affect our mood and our stress. Regardless of how centered I can be in life the weeks before. So, you know, hormonally, things can affect you. Chemical imbalances can affect you. Overwhelming amount of stresses can affect you. Things that trigger you from traumatic experiences. Those kind of things at the moment can hit us. But again, what we do with it afterwards is what makes a difference. And so I always like to look at our life as, you know, we're just on a journey. And when I'm in a great place and I have tons of energy, and I've fortunately been at that place quite a bit for this year, you know, I keep saying, you know, I'm looking forward to what the next adventure will be. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen tomorrow, or who knows what's going to happen today. You know, there's just a very adventurous spirit. But that's because I'm at that place. Other times, life can be just overwhelming and stressful. And during the darker times that we can all go through, what I at least do to manage that is allow myself to just feel it, or just rest, or, you know, allow the breakdowns by kind of turning in and staying to yourself and feeling what you feel. What you feel, you can't control. I always say you can't control your feelings, but your actions and your thoughts are things that you can control more than you know, your ability to control your feelings. But when you are able to alter or change your behaviors and thoughts, then that can eventually affect your feelings and bring about a better disposition. You know, what I always look at, what I like to look at, is what is it that I need to learn from this lesson right now, instead of focusing on the woe is me, trying to focus on how we're a poor victim of stuff. And the reality is many of us go through things that we are unfairly victimized, where we are unfairly victimized, or sometimes we actually victimize others, whether we know it or not. But the main thing in working with that is, you know, the need, I always say, if you want to grow, if you want to feel better or be better, that's the biggest part of it. But you just have to want it. You just have to want it. In hypnosis, I always tell my clients, you have to either want it or want to want it. And so when we go through this life and we get the hard hits, or we feel bad about what we've done or said, to me the important part is what are we getting out of this? What lessons are we learning? And the lessons that we learn are actually what truly brings us more strength and power and healing and being able to evolve. into being at a much better place. Now, that is the ideal situation. What can be challenging is when, you know, many times people just don't change or they don't change much. And that can stem from the focus on the injustice of what was done to them and the victim mentality and the focusing on the glass half empty, how bad everything is or will be or will always be. There's also the mentality of not, just really not wanting to take responsibility, being avoidant of the uncomfortable feelings that they'd have to consider or think about if they are dealing with anything that's guilt-ridden or shameful, being in denial. We do not grow when we are avoidant, when we're in denial, when we don't take responsibility, when we stuff our feelings, our thoughts, when we repress what we need to say. Sometimes we grow because we may say stuff, regret it afterwards, and then it brings more insight. So again, kind of, or lying is another issue that keeps us from growing. So avoiding, denying, or staying in denial, lying, repressing our emotions, that is one way that regardless of how many lessons come our way, we're not going to learn the lessons. We are not going to grow. Therefore, and the opposite spectrum is if we want to grow, it is really looking at what we are doing and what we're saying and what we may have done to bring something about. And I'm not talking about situations where it comes to abuse. You know, but in abusive relationships, sometimes there is a tendency of taking too much responsibility for why someone is abusing us. It's kind of like, well, if I didn't say this, he or she would not have done this to me, so it's my fault. When it comes to abuse is never okay. But in terms of situations that you're in that you don't like, you don't like the person that you are or who you've become or the relationships that you're in, it is important that you, like I said, I always go back to you, identify what it is you need and want in your life, and you try to work towards that. You try to find out what you need to do to make it happen, whether you turn to friends who have some maturity and wisdom that can be helpful, that you go to therapy, that you speak to someone you respect. You know, pray and meditation is something that I constantly do in life so that I can reflect on my own stuff. I will check in with the people I'm close to make sure that it's not just, you know, that my thinking on stuff is correct because I just think it. I will turn to consult with those I respect. Or I will try to learn new tools, whether I read stuff, whether I go to a workshop. Same stuff that I provide to people, I do myself. So taking responsibility, being honest, I have to say honesty is one of the biggest things that we have, that we need in order to get through life in a healthy way. It's so easy to lie to ourselves. It's so easy to lie to other people. So being honest, being true to yourself, being true to others, and it can be hard, especially when you know, we are raised with being able to get away with stuff or lie or seeing a lot of lies or, you know, people say, oh, it's just a white lie. But what I usually see happen, and I can speak from experience because, boy, I was scandalous when I was a teenager. Don't think too much, not too bad, but I definitely have learned my stuff from that point and can speak from my truth in that, you know, when you live a life of just lying and denying and avoiding, you just don't know who you are and you don't know what to do. Life is not clear anymore. So, again, honesty is important. Integrity to me is very important. And we just kind of grow to that when, like I said, when we have all the components that I've just accepted. That I just mentioned. You know, I'm wondering if I'm making it sound so easy when I say, oh, if you want to evolve, if you want to change, you just do this, you just do that. I'm saying this just because for purposes of, you know, the topic I'm discussing it, but I know how hard it can be. I don't, my best friend says to me to this day that, you know, she trips out at who I am now versus how I used to be when we were teenagers. And a lot of that came from the hard stuff that came at me, the decisions I made that were negative, and then finally recognizing that I didn't like who I was or where I was at, and then really trying to shift up and not try to get away with stuff. And there was something that happened to me in my early 20s. I used to be so proud of myself when I was younger that I thought I could get away with everything. I thought I was so slick. And kind of even boasted about it. And when I was in my early 20s, I was in a situation at work where something had happened and I was involved in something that, or my name was involved in something, and I didn't have any part of it. And so I told them, no, that wasn't me, I didn't do it. But because, where I thought people kind of bought the BS, I didn't know that some people really saw through the BS, and I wasn't believed. It was the whole story of the boy who cried wolf. And I remember feeling so ashamed and so humiliated and carried that with me. And just kind of that was something that just clicked for me where I just decided I didn't want to be known that way anymore. And, you know, with baby steps, I just really tried to make tried to live as honestly as possible. And with the baby steps, I got to a point, again, in my 20s, where I was just able to now be able to be proud to say, I am completely honest. And so, you know, with where I am now, my word is gold. People know me, people who know my reputation know that I just don't lie. I won't lie. As hard as it can be, I will still try to you know, go day by day in being honest with people and with myself. And that has been a huge part of how I have learned the tools, learned the skills to feel better in navigating my way through life. You know, I think I've said this in a previous show that I can actually die at this moment and be okay with who I am. And I couldn't have said that years ago. So I guess kind of where I'm at is really discussing, you know, what it would take in order to live healthier life and to get through the hard stuff of life, because life will throw us hard stuff. We will throw hard stuff at people that we love, we care about, and we may not even know it, or we may do it. We may have the regrets, but the way to combat that in dealing with our shame and our is to just change our story, is to not continue to live out our story of how things used to be. There was someone I was very close to before, and he said to me, "You don't really believe people can change, do you?" You don't really believe that. Which just baffled me that he asked me that question, because I'm a therapist and I am in that field of supporting and facilitating positive changes and healing for everyone. So do I see it? Absolutely. I see miracles every day. I see changes. I have experienced the changes. I have gone through the changes. I really try to practice what I preach, and I also know that I'm still far from perfect. And I still know that there are things that I look back on, you know, even last week, and say, I need to clean that up, or I need to shift something around, or I just need to not do this anymore. But that comes part and parcel of being honest with ourselves and others. So again, going to a big part of the initial steps of going through life is acknowledging our stuff, our negatives. But what's very, very important, which I have not yet mentioned, is that being positive, being hopeful, it's important that we don't stay in a place of judging others, because how we judge others is usually related to judgments to ourselves, and judgments just don't really help stuff. I think it's different when we kind of assess or look at stuff, consider stuff, and then hope for things to become better. Judging others just means that we feel that we're better than, or we know things. And judgments can automatically come to mind, but what we do with it can make a difference. You know, I have gone back, I've judged something, and gone back and say, I thought this way before, or I've done this because this is what I thought, and, that wasn't a good thing. It wasn't good for me, it wasn't good for you, whatever, but going back to stuff, we always, as long as we're alive, it's not the end of our story. We can go back, we can try to make amends, and then continue growing from there. Life feels more solid when we live with integrity. That is just a, I'm sorry, my soapbox for that, which is why I loved it when I had heard the song from Third Soul, when Rudy Ramos submitted the music to me. I listened to his whole CD, heard this one song. I played it over and over again and just felt it was so right. I even put the lyrics on my newsletter, which, by the way, if you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, email us at info@maggiedevera.com, and we will put you on the newsletter subscription. Loved the lyrics, loved what the song was about, and loved even more my follow-up discussion with Rudy Ramos. So shortly, we are going to be featuring his song after a minute of our break, and stay tuned. Feel free to call in if you have any questions, like to speak to me or Rudy Ramos. Stay tuned.
Have you always wanted to make a difference but weren't quite sure how to do it? Royal, or Realizing Our Youth as Leaders, Inc., is a nonprofit agency dedicated to preparing youth for life and leadership. Royal was created in response to a great need for providing effective services for the most disadvantaged and high-risk youth who are consistently falling through the cracks. Royal has been successful in reaching the most challenging kids in the community with their innovative, creative, and therapeutic approaches, serving youth who have experienced significant abuse, neglect, abandonment, and living life through harsh conditions. Royal needs your help. To help sponsor a child and support the hard work and mission of Royal, visit their website at www.royalinc.org. That's R-O-Y-A-L-I-N-C.org. Or call 415-643-7117. That's 415-643-7117. Royal, helping our youth.
And so now we are excited to air the upcoming song, Life Takes Us for a Ride, a wonderful song by Rudy Ramos and Third Soul Band. And we will have Rudy join us as soon as the song is over. So let's start the song now. Questions, or okay. I know some, but I'm sure everyone else would want to know. And if there's something on here that's not you know, on here that you want to convey to everyone, please feel free to do that as well. Okay?
Okay.
And you said that you're open, if someone would like to call in, you're open to taking a call. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. We'll see if we can make that work. I don't know how we're going to do that.
We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first question is, what was it that, you know, inspired the creation of your song? What's the story behind Life Takes Us for a Ride?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, so first I'd like to say thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be able to cross paths with Maggie. Wonderful platform to, you know, convey your expertise to help the people who are in need or people who are looking for answers and to develop their lives accordingly with all kinds of solutions that you bring. Hopefully it's helped many, and I know it has. And just by knowing you, it has just helped me be able to get to know you as a very empathetic person who puts themselves in someone else's shoes and can understand and help them. So I thank God for that, Maggie, first of all.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. That means very much, a lot to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. And the inspiration of Life Takes Us for a Ride, you know, I wrote that song because of the trials and tribulations I went through dealing with my family issues and clashing heads with my family values and ethics with my family members.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of my inspiration on a lot of music I have written over the years have been derived from my experiences in life. And with the many songs that I have, a lot of them are not made for, you know, my band that I have now, Third Soul, because, you know, some of them are just they're very sentimental, and so I save them kind of in my library of music, and one day, you know, I'll let you listen to all of those. But Life Takes You for a Ride was developed because I was going through a very big conflict after I turned 50 years old, and I came into a conflict
after
with
you
my
turned
family.
How old? I'm sorry, how old?
After I turned 50.
Oh, interesting. I would not have thought you were 50, but I was thinking, did he say 15? Or because it
no,
can't
not
be 15. Okay,
it was, yeah, it was. You know, I just started really thinking a lot when I turned 50. You know, I kind of looked back in my life from my childhood, and you know, you hit it on the nose a little bit when you say, you know, we can't change the past, but we go back there, and we're always looking at it. You know, and we keep thinking, you know, what would have been different if my mom, my father, my brothers or sisters would have done or made decisions differently in my behalf to make my life better. But then I started realizing that that's really not the case in my life, you know, and the better I accept what I was being served was the better, would bring the better out of me. But that's where this song got inspired. It was that conflict, you know, a few years ago, and that was the inspiration of this song.
Mm-hmm. And you said, because you were saying something about decisions or what your siblings or your mom or your dad, if they had done things differently, you know, how it affected you. You were the baby of the family, right?
I was. Yes,
yeah.
I was. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and like the first line of the song where it says, many turns, many streets, life sometimes ain't so sweet. And, you know, I learned that, you know, growing up, you know, the could-have, would-have, should-have, you know, syndrome. And there were so many turns, you know, because I grew up in a family where my brothers were in gangs and they were always in juvenile hall. And I've seen all that. And some of those streets I did take momentarily, you know, for a year or two, and then I hopped right back on and I took another street. Some of them were wonderful and some of them were not so wonderful. And that's where I got that line from. And it's the story be told. It could go on and on. And then, you know, well, you grow and learn, and then you say things you don't really mean. Because basically when we grow up, you know, you have an era when you're in your 20s and you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s and so on. But in my 30s, you know, I grew up as I became this pompous person, you know, that thought I knew everything. And I come up with my own cliche sayings and really thought they made sense. And when I look back, I started realizing, you know what? I don't know nothing.
Right.
And,
right.
I didn't know that.
Right. You know what I always say is the smarter we become, the wiser we are, the more we realize we're not as smart and we're not as wise as we think we were. Right.
Right. That's true. You know,
right.
And that's why I even ended that line, you know, the way, you know, you don't figure it out until you die or you're too old to care, you know.
Right,
and
right.
It goes back to what you were saying, you know, is that sometimes we don't want to change, you know, and it goes back to my conflicts with my siblings and looking at them and talking to them and say, you know what, they're never going to change, you know, because their wisdom will not grow beyond their own thinking. And that's where I kind of came up with that line. So, and that's, you know, this song was literally written on everything that I've been thinking over the last several years.
Yeah, and they really are beautiful lyrics. Did you get my email that I forwarded to you that I received?
I did. Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yes, I did.
The email from my dad. To me, that was a really big thing that my dad.
Yeah.
Actually took the time. I mean, my dad is extreme. I kind of gave you his background of how busy he is. He's just, and he was so affected by the lyrics. When he read the lyrics in the newsletter, that he even, you know, had to let me know. I hope if people who can see the newsletter can really look at the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. Many turns, many streets. Life sometimes ain't so sweet. You grow, you learn, you say things you don't really mean. And I love this. You don't figure it out until you die or you're too old to care. Then we pray, we cry about tomorrow that we fear. Just great stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, so I just had another question. So, you know, you were exposed to stuff. You were the youngest child. You saw a lot of stuff. Was it challenging for you to try to take a different road or was it easy?
No, it was, you know, it wasn't.
Oh, and were there repercussions from the decisions that you made by not going down that road?
You know, you sent chills up my spine when you asked me that question, you know, because it's a question that I have asked myself for so many years, I'd say a few decades, you know, where, you know, each day I'd woke up and I would, you know, I'd ask myself, you know, what were the repercussions? And I'd look back and I'd say, man, I destroyed that relationship over that, you know, or I held a grudge because of that. And I wanted to backtrack and figure out, okay, you know, what was it, you know, and challenging? Yes, it was very challenging because I didn't know who I was.
Right.
And growing up in a dysfunctional family, it confuses you so badly.
Right.
Because you begin to find out, where are the values at? Which ones am I supposed to listen to? Do I listen to them from my big brother who's in a gang? Do I listen to them from my sister who just ran away from home? Do I listen to my mom? You know, so it becomes very challenging and, you know, you start becoming confused. And by the time, you know, time goes on, you look back and you say, man, out of all that figuring out, look at how much I have destroyed. And some of it I've gained, but it wasn't right. You know, the percussions were the repercussions were usually holding grudges and destroying relationships along the way.
Relationships that are still challenged.
Yeah, they are still challenged, Maggie. They are.
Yeah, and that's the truth of life, right? Because we can kind of do some damage, or damage can be done to us. And even when we get to a better place, and we may have figured it out, or we may come to a peaceful state of mind, or whatever, or we're ready to make amends, doesn't mean that other people are ready for that.
Right.
Doesn't even mean that we're sometimes ready for that, even if we want it. Right. So that's an important part of life to accept as well. And I always say it's important that we try to do what we think is right. We may figure out later on that it's not right or maybe not right anymore, but that we try to do that. And, you know, thank you for being so honest and so open, because I know what you're sharing is, you know, definitely disclosing things that, you know, that can be very personal. But I really I was very excited after I spoke to you initially and then looking at this because I felt that people can really relate to this. And even hearing your honesty may be able to help people kind of own their stuff more and be more humble and be more authentic and, you know, have you role model that. I mean, you're a very charismatic, a talented man. And so kind of that can be a lot to role model for others.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Well, no, it's true. And so anyway, you know, we talked about values and you had mentioned something about values. One of the questions I had while you were talking was that throughout, you know, you making decisions or you doing stuff that may have had negative repercussions. I don't know if this is such a broad question, but could you say what it is that really kind of brought you home to realize that it was wrong, or that, you know what I mean, where you kind of get the aha moment? Can you kind of speak to that, or is that too broad?
You know, and you know, Maggie, I'll tell you, you're a true professional, because the questions you ask just hit home. They really do. Yeah, there was an awakening in my life. You know, one of my awakenings were years ago when I was 18, but something I don't like to talk about. So I'll leave that one out. You and I
sure,
can talk
of course.
By ourselves. I just don't like I don't like a lot of people to know about this part of me.
Sure,
because it's just through prayers, I was kind of put my own promise that I would never blast that kind of information out. But my big awakening, I think, was a turning for me was when I lost my mother. And I'd say about 4 years ago, she died of a heart attack on Valentine's Day. And the year before that, my wife's mother passed away. And what I've always told my children, you know, is that with every death comes a lesson. And when my mom died, I looked back and I realized that my life was already planned for me from the moment I was born. You know, God put a platform there for me. You know, He gave me a mom, He gave me a father, He gave me brothers and sisters, He gave me education, He gave me, and the most important thing to use it all was with my health. And God also let me do what my will do with it. And I looked back and I said, I had everything, Lord. I had everything. You gave me everything, and look what I did with it. But from now on, from this day forward, it's going to be different. I'm going to make it a joy when anybody meets me. And I'm going to be honest and sincere in everything I say and do going forward. So some people look at me and they think, okay, this guy's really nice. I could take advantage of this guy. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is I'm being honest. I'm being sincere in everything I say and do. And the people that I'm conveying that to, they can do what their will do with it.
Yeah.
But that was a big awakening for me, because I thought about all the things I could have done for my mother. Just even saying, how was your day going, Mom? Or, you know, Mom, you look sad. Can we talk about it? But instead, back in the day, I was thinking, me, why wasn't my mother doing this? Why didn't my mother do that? Why did my stepfather do this? Why did my brothers and sister do that? So I started learning that, you know what, Rudy, it's not about that. Why don't you ask other people, how are they doing? Because this isn't always about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my big awakening moment. And my decision started becoming a lot different. Of instead of making a demand type of decision, like, okay, this is the way a person should be, because I'm a likable person. It wasn't like that anymore. It was more, this is how I should be, and this is my kindness, and I will let people do and interpret it the way they want. And that was my rude awakening when my mother died.
And, you know, and it sounds like that's when it all kind of maybe it all came together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and but I also look at the fact that, like I had mentioned earlier, is that a lot of times we don't reach this level unless we went through all the stuff we went through.
And I heard
right?
you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And but then we make the decision that we want better, because some people can mm-hmm. go through all that stuff and just become worse. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. They can become mm-hmm. worse. They can become jaded. They can, you know, and I have unfortunately seen that, witnessed that. I've seen people go to their deathbeds that way. And it's disheartening. So, you know, when people say, oh, life just, lesson, you know, mistakes just make you better, right? Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. The mistakes is supposed to bring you to a place where it teaches lessons, and whether we pay attention to that
mm-hmm.
and want it to be mm-hmm. different is what makes a difference. And so, you know, with that, I mean, you've definitely touched on what some of the values have come, what has been formed from that. But if you can just, even just bullet point what the values, you know, all the values that you can mm-hmm. think of that you acquired or formed
mm-hmm.
at this point in your life now as a result mm-hmm. of the life stuff.
Well, there you go again.
You know, people pay me to actually do this stuff. You know,
you know what? They're going to go, boy, Maggie really knows how to bring it out, man. You're awesome, man. Well, you know, in my household, you know, even now with my little babies, you know, who are 8 and 10 years old, and, you know, we sit down once a week. And we write down values. And when they when we first got together with it, they were a little, you know, like, okay, you know. And I said, they asked me, Dad, what is values? And I said, values are what's important to you belonging to this family. What do you want that's important to you? What do you value? What do you want from me and Mom that you think would be the greatest thing in the world? And let's write it down. So they did. Okay. And we went on and on, and we keep going on. I mean, it's an encyclopedia of words, and some of them are repetitive. But what I've always did in my home is a value thing. Somehow, when I had my rude awakening when my mother died, and I had said it already, my 5 points are: don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, and be honest and sincere in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
4. To people and to yourself, and forgive yourself.
Mm,
and that
big.
Will take you far big. In life, because there's the 10 commandments there. But if you do those 5 values, that will take you far, because they're all intertwined in those commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the bullet points of my life. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, and be honest and sincere in everything you do, to people, for people, and for yourself. And the last and most important is always be able to forgive yourself.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's something that I actually did not mention earlier. In, you know, I did talk about, you know, working with your own shame and guilt, but
mm-hmm.
in order to you know, live a life where you can move forward, there has to be a forgiveness there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't forgive others unless you can forgive yourself. You can't forgive mm-hmm. yourself unless you forgive others, right?
Amen, man.
And
yeah.
and there's different levels of forgiveness. It doesn't mean they have to be your best friend.
Right.
I remember when I was young, and it wasn't that young. It was about 24, and I went to a retreat. That was a retreat, and one of the spiritual speakers said, you know, in order to get better in life, you have to forgive. And, you know, there was something in my life that it was just behooved me to think that I could ever forgive this situation or forgive this person. And
mm-hmm.
I went, you know, to the spiritual leader, and I said, you know, I want to be better. I want to be a good person. I just don't know if I can ever come to terms with that,
mm-hmm.
with forgiveness. And I, you know, am I damned? Am I going to be damned for the rest of my life? And he said, you know what? If you can at least pray for that person, and you can live your life without having hateful rage and bitterness and wishing the worst for that person, that can be a form of forgiveness. It kind of depends on, you know, it's a case-by-case basis, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I tested myself, can I pray for this person? It took me a while, and then and then I was, right? You know, and even though I can still be triggered because I'm still human and I can think back on stuff and the emotions can trigger, you know, when I kind of bring myself back, it's like, okay, this is eating me up. You know, there's a saying that they say that it's not the snake bite that kills you, but the venom that stays in your system, right? So that's why the forgiveness part is so important.
Yeah. Well said.
And, you know, I thank you for sharing that you do that with your kids and listing your values, because kids, you know, people really grow up really confused about what values are. And, you know, there's the should and shouldn'ts. And one of the things I always preach to my staff and my clients and anyone who's close to me is, you know, just try to stay away from the should mentality, because what's a should for you may not be a should for someone else, or what's a should for someone else may not be your should. And so it can create kind of a lot of confusing, unrealistic perspectives in life, and instead kind of shift it to be more concrete. So instead of saying, I should be like this, it's like, I will be like this, or I can be like this, or I am like this. Right? Or she should be like that. You know, it would be, well, she's not like that. It would be great if she was, but she's not. You know what I mean?
So
reframing the should part. Because when we have the shoulds in life, we will constantly be disappointed. Constantly. Yeah. Right? Life shouldn't be this hard. The world shouldn't be this bad. Mm-hmm. You know, people shouldn't be doing this. So another question I have for you is that with the values that you have, because I have the same values, how is it for you to live in a world and be amongst others who don't have that same value or don't... sometimes it feels lonely when you have those kind of values, and it's not as common. At least that's my experience. So I'm wondering how it is for you.
Well, that one is, you know, life is full of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we learn. We learn from everything, you know. So whether, you know, I'm walking through life and people are sharing my values or values in common or completely different values culturally, religiously, that's the learning. That's the learning, you know. And I've learned from, you know, when I'm in my 30s again, you know, I was that pompous guy who said, you know, the world evolved around me, you know, and if you didn't agree with me, then you were wrong and I didn't like you and you should. That was the should. You know, and I learned to overcome that, you know. Most of it is after my mom passed away, you know. And I sat down with one of my friends who's a younger guy than me. He's in his 30s. He's about 36, 37 years old. And we sat down, and he's a very intelligent guy. And he was, you know, I was kind of mentoring him, and he sat me down. And we started talking about a lot of the things that are not in common. And the one thing I remember he said to me is that, Rudy, because you're so much of an older generation than I am, I respect you so much because you sit down and you listen to somebody who's younger than you. And you take those values and you learn from them. And that's what a mentor should do, he said.
Right.
I said, wow. I said, I love that, man. You know, so for me, I invite it to learn, to grow my wisdom, and not look the other way, but to be, you know, to be able to enhance my empathy, to be able to enhance my understanding, and then again, to have a will that wants to understand rather than say, you know what, that person's, you know, he's a Buddhist, you know, and I'm a Christian, and we just don't see eye to eye, so I'd rather not see him. Well, for me, I want to talk with them. I want to learn from them. So when I do cross a path with somebody with some common knowledge or within that scope of thinking, I know how to deal with it the right way. Because
right.
it's like a cult. Everybody has a cultural difference.
Right.
So that's how
right.
I have been able to, you know, walk through my life and live in this world that with people that don't share the values, is that I invite it. I need to learn. I'm going to learn my entire life, and I will never shut that off and be so closed-minded where someone walks through the door and I say, you know what, I don't understand a dang thing this guy's about. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
how I,
or
that's
I don't
how
like what this,
on.
Or I don't like what this guy's about.
Right, right.
Right.
You know, I mean, we know what to stay away from when it's going to cause violence or it's going to hurt somebody or it's going to offend somebody really bad. You know, I know when to stay away.
Yeah.
But
well, you know
values,
now, right? You know now.
Now I do.
Also,
yeah, now I
yeah.
do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know that, at least for me, that if I were to just kind of bullet point my stuff, is that, you know, I always say, you know, there's, of course, because of all of the diversity in the world and
mm-hmm.
cultural, socioeconomic,
mm-hmm.
religious, spiritual values,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's so many things that
mm-hmm.
can be different,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, trying to be and grow into the person that I hope
mm-hmm.
to be, is, you know, one of the things I take seriously is kind of that birds of a feather flock together,
mm-hmm.
right? So I know thousands of people, and yet the people that I do spend my time with, the relationship I have, the relationships with friends, are all kind of, they have to have that similar value, at least, not similar, they don't have to have the same thing, but a same theme. Right,
mm-hmm.
so I look at the people who are around me, and they are compassionate and really
mm-hmm.
try to be honest. And even if
mm-hmm.
they're not honest, they can say, I wasn't honest right now.
mm-hmm.
And
right.
also kind of want growth and you know, trying to forgive or trying generally being good people. I'm so blessed with who, you know, is in my circle, right? So that's
mm-hmm.
the birds of a feather flocks together thing,
yeah.
because I noticed that, you know, especially when I wasn't as evolved as I like to claim I am now, is that, you know, I mean, it was confusing with when I would allow myself to be around this or that, and then kind of question whether this is something I need to do or should do, and but again, kind of being around that and
mm-hmm.
realizing that's not what I want is what helped me grow as well, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the other part of it is, you know, looking at when I see things that I don't like or certain perspectives or values or whatever, I just allow it to kind of enhance more of who I am. Right, like this
right.
is truly how I don't want to be because I just saw
right.
it and I don't like that, right?
Right?
And so I try not to be what I don't like and I try to be what I do like, right?
Right.
And then the whole golden rule, treat others as you would
yeah.
want to be treated. So anyway, thank you for that, honey. I wanted to ask you also, well, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, which I kind of feel you've already answered, but I'll ask it anyway, is what, you know, what does the song mean for you? But more importantly, has the meaning changed as time has passed, at least since you created the song?
What does the song mean? And has it changed since I created it? Well, the song means the world to me, you know. I touched a lot of subjects on there, you know, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
just not to get out of the space of it, but, you know, my songwriting, to me, my songwriting has always been more than music, you know, more than the stage, you know, more than me saying, you know, I want to be a star or I want to be noticed, you know. It's more, I'm going to write this song, and the ones who take the time to read it will get the message, you know, that, you know, you go back and you look at the rap area that I put in, you know, one blood, one branch, one life is all we get, you know, things like that. You know, where does people see that in their life? You know, for me, that portion of the song because I grew up with, you know, a mom who, with a stepfather who they had two children, and how my mom told me, hey, you never call them your half-brother, your half-sister. This
mm-hmm,
is one
right.
love. One love, buddy, you know, and I love you all the same. Remember that.
Mm.
And that's, you know, this that's where this song takes you from the beginning to the end, is to dissect that song. And what does it mean in your life? Because that's why I wrote it. And,
yeah.
you know, as far as has it changed, it's changing all the time. You know, every day there's always an enhancement to it. And it's been, so far, it's been a positive, you know. I just want to be able to every song I write is going to be about a relationship. You know, I have a couple other songs that are more, you know, song and dance, but it's a relationship still.
Right.
And it could always change. It could always get different or better. But definitely, you know, this song, in, you know, when I, the part that, you know, I wrote here is that, and I went on, and sisters, I can tell you it's been a long, long time. I was asleep saying things the real me would never mean. And those were the grudge areas, the era of grudge. You know, and then one day I just woke up and I said, man, I got to call them. I got to tell them, ask them to forgive me because I was asleep. I wasn't, that was not me. I just want to tell them I love them and how I would die without them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I went on to the change of it is that basically is that where we live and we learn and we see how pass, how life passes us and how we're so near, you know. And so that was the part that started, that's changing now. You know, I'm able to accept them. I still have my differences, I would say, but I've come to a better understanding of that. You know, and you said it the best. You know, some people won't change. You know, some people have a habit of leaving it in God's hands when sometimes God's left it in our hands,
right.
And we can't continue to leave it in God's hands because it keeps repeating itself over and over
right.
because God gave us the responsibility to change it. So,
yeah,
it's always changing. I think everything's improving, you know, as the song goes on. But, you know, it's the story could go on and on, Maggie. You know that.
Sure.
But, yeah, you know, the song means the world to me, and my life has changed because of this song, and I was able to express myself and get out what I needed to get out for that era of my life. And Life Takes Us for a Ride was one of them that I said, man, I wrote it, I released it, I can breathe again.
Right, right.
You know? So that's,
yeah, release, yeah. That's a beautiful way to describe it. There's a release.
Yeah,
when
there's
you
a release.
Own it and then, yeah, you say it, yeah. Right.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
Okay.
And you actually answered a few of the other questions that I was going to ask, so that's great. So, you know, I know you cited a few of the lyrics, a few of the stuff in your, a few of the lyrics in your song
mm-hmm.
already, but if I were to ask you what your favorite lyric is within, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but the favorite words or the part of lyrics of your song is, what would that be? If you were to just pick one, because everything is beautiful, but what would that one be?
You know, man, I'll tell you, you are good. Man, you send chills up my spine by these questions, woman. Wow. I do, Maggie. I do have a favorite part, and the one that I think I like the best on this one is when, and actually it's a few of them, but it still, you know, goes to, it all runs together, and it says, where is it at? Let's see, I'm going to try to remember the song. I swear and dare to never go back to what I fear. Always know how much I love you, how much life loves you, and without it, you would die.
Wow. And is there a specific person that is more directed towards, or just kind of your overall experience of those you've had.
I'm talking to myself.
To yourself.
I'm talking to myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the things of the past, Maggie, and like remember at the beginning of when we were talking about the relationships, the destroying of relationships and all those things that have happened in the cycle of life that I've lived, is that I never want to go back there. And you know, there was a conflict I had recently with someone I thought was a very good friend of mine that I confided in, and I used him as even. He was, I would say, slash or mentor, you know, and I really confided in this person. And, you know, we had our differences. And I told him, I got into it with him. I kind of lost my cool. And I said, buddy, this is the person I never want you to see, but you brought it out of me. And those are the things I never want to go back to see, you know, and those are that's the person I never want nobody to see. Mm-hmm. But as you know, when we lose our tempers,
we
go back to saying the things we really didn't mean, but, you know, and we have to backtrack and say, okay, you know, was it something that should have been said, or could I have just kept my mouth shut, you know, but that was that line there, never swear and dare never to go back to what I fear. That was me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Rudy, you're sending chills up my spine. I really, you know, I that's not to blow smoke up your, you know what, but it really is about, you know, how honest and open you've been. I really hope a lot of people hear this, because you're just hitting so many points that I think are just very necessary for people to hear and maybe resonate with and be okay with themselves, because they're hearing that other people go through this as well, especially those who repress their feelings more, right? Or will be more apt to blame or be more the poor me mentality. And we can have a tendency to do that still. It's just what I say. It's important that we catch it and then clean it up if we can, because we don't change when we stay in the poor me mentality. You know, I want to. We're almost done, and I don't want us to be cut off. So I'm just going to ask you, because we're going to wind up right now. If you have a message that you'd like to send out to the listeners, we've got about 4 minutes, and I'm going to say a couple of closing things, but if there's a quick message you'd like to send out, please take this time to do that.
Yeah. I think the biggest important message for me, because, you know, my inspiration for my mom is that, you know, for all the men out there, even the women and the children, is to love your mom, because the female is so important in a family when it comes to the mother. And stop what you're doing and quit thinking about yourself. And ask your mom how her day is going. Ask her if she needs anything. Ask her what she needs from you to make her feel good that she's a great mother. Because second to heaven, that's what God gave you, and that's your book. And that's the only person second to heaven is your mother. Some fathers, too. But for me, it was my mom. That was my book of life. And when I lost her, I lost my counselor. And they take secrets to heaven with them, and always remember that.
Not my mom. There's no secrets with my mom. But my mom's going to love what you just said, and she's going to make sure she repeats that to me.
You know why, Maggie?
I adore my mom.
Yeah, you told me. But you know why, Maggie, is because my mom, that's all she ever thrived for, was for us to say, Mom, you are the most wonderful and greatest mother in our lives. How can I make your life better? How can I give you the respect for all the hard work you put in for bringing me out in this world and putting up with that pain through the delivery room. What can I do to pay you back for that? You know, and, you know, so that's my message. And the other message is, you know, the Third Soul Band is out there. We're an honest band. We're not seeking fame and fortune. We're just seeking some the people. And you've seen us before, Maggie, when we were at Slam's, one of our shows.
Right.
All I want is to convey my messages to people. You know, I sing with a lot of passion because I mean it. And that is what I'm about. So when you see my band, that is what Rudy Ramos Sr. and Rudy Ramos Jr. is about. You know, bringing the integrity of that music, delivering the message, helping people forget their problems at real time while they're in front of us.
Right.
You know, and you know, and my shout out is to one of my very best friends in life, and I'm so blessed, is my son Rudy Jr.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just love the fact that father and son are up there. It's
yeah,
a beautiful thing.
I mean, he's
thing.
My best friend now.
Yeah, he's adorable.
You know, my son Emilio and my wonderful son Gabriel and Christian and Caricia and, of course, my wonderful and loving and supportive wife, Anita.
Yes, right. Beautiful wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, your son was so adorable. I had met him at one of your gigs, and it was the first time I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the night, you know, we were talking for a bit, and then when I was leaving, you know, he gave me a big hug, and he said, love you. And it's just beautiful when people can just share love and be expressive and not have any kind of weirdness about it and just be okay to share that energy. So that's a beautiful thing. So that I hope he's listening to this too. And that stuck with me. I wish more of that came around in life, but all we can do is do what we can do, right? So Rudy, we're going to have to sign off now. I really, really thank you for this very honest interview. Like I said, I hope other people listen. I think many people can get a lot out of this, and it is going to be archived, so you know, people who hear this, people let them know that they can come back to it and listen to it as long as I've got the life of my show still up. I kind of take it as long as I want to do it. So, but thank you, hon. And Rudy is the leader of Third Soul Band. If you'd like more information, please look at their website at www.thirdsoul.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, great. So I'm going to sign off with you right now, and I just have a couple of more messages out for the for the crowd.
Okay.
So thank you, Rudy. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome, Maggie. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. See you soon.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Later.
So, again, thank you for tuning in for our show today. I feel much better about this because last week seemed to be just very dry and factual. And I had a lot of afterthoughts of how I wish I could have done it differently. But there were certain reasons for why I wanted to keep it that way. People were kind of getting a little bit vulgar and excited about the topic of the show, and I wanted to maybe really stress how clinical and professional I wanted to keep it, but maybe it went a little too dry. But we will definitely come back. We'll come back to it. Thank you again. Please know that if you'd like to call in with any questions and comments during the show, we are taking calls at points. Please send in your questions if you have any. I always welcome feedback. If you want to be on the panel that we'll be planning out, that will be great. And also, please know that the Royal Unity Concert will be coming up very soon, and that will be July 27th, and that's going to be at Fort McKinley. We're going to have wonderful music, a lineup of musicians and bands that will be filling our night. We've got a few surprises as well. If you'd like any information, please visit my website at www.maggiedevera.com. And we look forward to connecting to you next week. Thank you. Have a wonderful, blessed week. Loving energy to all of you. Bye-bye.